California, we present Gene Hirschold in a new Dr. Christian story called Angie's Last Cure. Presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseborough Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Before the curtain rises on tonight's drama, we present our guest of the evening, a modern young mother with an age-old problem.
Nothing distresses a young mother more than to hear her baby cry. So when my little one began to be bothered by chafing and diaper rash, I was terribly grateful for the advice of my nurse. She told me to use Vaseline Jelly. Said that Vaseline Jelly is one remedy that mothers everywhere have relied on for years. The baby seldom cries now because Vaseline Jelly soothes her tender skin, ends chafing discomfort, and provides a pleasant film of protection against rash. I always rub Vaseline Jelly on baby's skin after her bath, especially where the clothing is apt to rub. Modern science has helped a lot in making today's babies healthier, but there's still nothing that can beat Vaseline Jelly for skin irritations.
Most everyone keeps Vaseline Jelly on hand, but some people don't realize how many different conditions it will help. Take a good look at the label on a jar or tube of Vaseline Jelly. When you see how many skin injuries, cuts, burns, and irritations it helps, you'll want to keep plenty on hand always, ready for any emergency. And best of all, Vaseline Jelly costs only 10 cents anywhere. Ask your druggist, too, about the Vaseline specialties. Vaseline Carbolated Jelly, Vaseline Borated Jelly, Vaseline Lip Ice, and Vaseline Camphor Ice. When you buy, always look for the trademark Vaseline on every jar or tube. It is your guarantee of purity. There's the curtain music now, and the show is about to begin. The title of our Dr. Christian drama for this evening is Angie's Last Cure. The star is Gene Hirschold, famous Hollywood actor. And in the supporting cast, we present Rosemary DeCamp as Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, Walter Baldwin as Fred Hopper and harassed husband, and Verna Felton as Angie Hopper, his hypochondriac wife. The opening scene shows Dr. Christian's familiar office with Judy Price pounding the typewriter.
Evening, Judy.
Well, good evening, Dr. Christian. Late as usual.
Yes, but I have an excuse today.
Oh, the storm, I suppose.
Yes, the snow plows had a time getting through.
Oh, that's too bad. Fred Hopper's outside. Fred Hopper's inside.
Thank goodness you're here, Doc.
Oh, hello, Fred. What's the trouble?
It's the missus. She's got hardening of the liver.
What? Oh, you must be mistaken, Fred.
No. She's been sick for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, why didn't you call me before?
She wouldn't let me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fred. Well, I'll get right out to your house.
Good. I got my car downstairs.
We'd better go in line. You're in no condition to be driving.
I guess I am pretty shaky. We better go in yours, Doc. But drive fast, Doc. Angie's in bad shape.
Very fast time of this snow. Suppose you tell me what seems to be wrong with Angie.
Well, it's this way, Doc. Mostly, she's got symptoms.
Symptoms? What kind of symptoms?
All kinds. She's as full of symptoms as a hive is full of bees, and they're buzzing around from her toes to her head.
Oh, now take it easy, Fred. Just tell me how all this started.
You mean from the beginning?
Yes, right from the beginning.
Well, it was about 3 weeks ago, Doc, I think. She bought a book.
Book?
Yeah, down at the drugstore. You know, that counter where they got the books. You take your choice for 49 cents.
Yeah, I think I noticed it.
Well, Angie took her choice. It's called Symptoms and Remedies for Man or Beast by Dr. Thaddeus Zander.
Symptoms and Remedies for Man or Beast?
That's it.
But this Dr. Zander, which is he? A medical doctor or a veterinarian?
Well, I guess he's both, Doc. He seems to know the diseases for animals, humans, and all, including male and female.
I still don't see what that's got to do with Angie being sick.
Well, she no sooner finished reading that book than it started.
What started?
Symptoms.
Oh. Well, where did these symptoms first seem to affect her?
Well, they first hit her in the feet.
The feet?
Yeah, her feet swelled up.
Anything else?
Yeah, a headache. Know what was wrong with her?
No, I'd have to have more facts than that.
She found out in the book. It was something called acromegalia.
Acromegalia? Oh, I'd hardly think so.
Well, I didn't think so either. I figured it was on account of the ladies' bazaar.
Her feet swelled up on account of the bazaar?
Well, yeah, you see, she spent the whole day down there on her feet and naturally.
Oh, I see. Well, then, it wasn't acromegalia.
Well, Angie still thinks she may have had a touch of it.
But her feet is all right now, eh?
Oh, yeah. The swelling was down the next morning. But by that time, she had some other symptoms.
Not as bad as acromegalia, I hope.
Worse. Beriberi.
Oh, now look here, Fred. Is this a joke? You know, I'm a busy man.
Well, all I know is that Angie found the symptoms in the book, and they pointed to beriberi.
How did she feel?
Sort of tired. Heavy feeling in the legs.
Well, couldn't that also happen to a sort of an active day at the ladies' bazaar?
Well, that's what I told Angie. But she's dead sold on Dr. Zander in that book of his.
And I suppose the beriberi disappeared by about noon.
Well, maybe it did, and maybe it didn't. I know Angie hasn't hardly been out of bed ever since.
Really?
I've had to cook most of the meals, and I've had a girl in to clean up the place.
Oh, I don't understand it. Has she any pains or loss of appetite? Or
loss of appetite? My eye. She eats like a horse. But don't tell her I said that.
Nah, you can depend on me.
Things got pretty bad last Tuesday, Doc. I was over in Center City on business. I got a long-distance telephone call from her to come right home.
Yeah? What was wrong?
She had spotted fever.
Oh, pardon me for laughing, but this is a lot of nonsense, Fred.
Well, you wouldn't have thought it was nonsense if you'd had to drive all the way home from Center City thinking your wife was dying.
Oh, so she's recovered from spotted fever, too? Now, look here, Fred. I don't believe there's a thing in the world the matter with Angie.
You're wrong, Doc. Angie's just a bundle of symptoms.
Well, Fred, we'll soon find out. There's your house right ahead. Well, well, Angie, you don't look so sick. Let's see how your pulse is.
I told Fred not to fetch you.
Well, sometimes people need a doctor and don't realize it. Now, what is this about your having hardening of the liver?
That isn't what's wrong with me at all.
But, Angie, that's what you told me.
That's what I thought at first, till I studied the book a little closer. Now I know it's appendicitis.
Appendicitis, huh? Well, pulse seems to be normal. Just open your mouth.
You see, I got a temperature all right.
Well, that would be only natural if you have appendicitis.
I know that. In fact, I know all about appendicitis. That's why I got this ice pack on me.
Yeah, very good thing, too. Now open your mouth.
It started last night with the work.
I see. Now, I'll just take this ice pack off for a moment.
What are you doing after?
No, no, I don't think so.
A little bit while better.
Does that seem tender? Just nod if it does. No? No pain there?
But that's not the place.
All right, all right. I'll take the thermometer now.
How do you expect a person to talk with that thing in their mouth?
Temperature normal.
You didn't understand a word I said to you. I said you were poking me on the wrong side.
The wrong side?
Yes, the pain is on the left side.
Oh, but the appendix is on the right side.
Not my appendix. Mine must be on the left side because that's where the pain is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And don't look at me that way. The book says that sometimes the appendix isn't in the normal place.
That's right. Is this where the pain is?
Yes. Oh, ouch!
Oh, just once more. Right there?
Yes. Ooh.
Have you been nauseated, Angie?
Well, sort of bilious.
I see. I'm afraid you haven't got appendicitis. You're just upset and nervous. Those pains are gas. I'll leave a special diet for her to follow for a day or two.
Yes, I know my own pains.
I'll leave a prescription for you, Angie. Can I talk to you outside for a minute, Fred?
Sure, Doc.
You'll feel better by tomorrow, Angie.
I may not be alive tomorrow.
Huh? What do you think, Doc?
Get rid of that book, Fred. It's making a hypochondriac out of your wife.
My gosh, what's that?
A hypochondriac is a person who develops a morbid anxiety about the state of his health. An upset stomach, a headache, or even a rainy day sets the imagination to conjuring up all kinds of serious ailments.
But Angie lives with that book, Doc.
Yes, I know. That's the trouble. Get a mind of it. There's nothing wrong with her that a normal diet and a little exercise won't cure. I'll drop around tomorrow.
In the meantime, keep in touch.
Hello, Dr. Christian's office. I'm sorry, but the doctor isn't back in the hospital yet. Oh, yes, Mrs. Borden. Oh, that's too bad. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him as soon as he comes in. Goodbye, Mrs. Borden. Oh, Dr. Christian. Mrs. Borden just this second called. Her boy Jimmy has a cold, and she's kept him home from school. She wants you to stop in.
Were there any other phone calls?
No, but you've got 3 stops to make this afternoon, including Angie Hopper.
I'm afraid Angie will have to get along without me today. I don't seem to help her anyway.
What are you going to do about her, Doctor?
Oh, I don't know. Yesterday her appendix was fine, but she was worrying about ulcer of the stomach.
It's perfectly ridiculous.
Well, it certainly is. She followed my diet religiously. The only trouble was she ate the things I ordered in addition to her usual meals.
Good heavens! What did she think a diet was for?
Well, I guess she thought it was like medicine. She was suffering from gastritis induced by overeating. But she insists she's got an ulcer.
Ah, it's too preposterous. When is that farce going to end?
I don't know, Georgie. And it isn't a farce. It's getting serious.
Hmm?
And she's having a wonderful time. She's convinced herself that she's a very sick woman. But I'm positive there isn't a real pain in her body.
I bet I could diagnose Angie Hopper's case sitting right here at my desk.
Well, go ahead. What do you call it?
Idleness. She hasn't enough to do.
Say, Judy, you're giving me an idea.
Oh, good. What is it?
I'll tell you later when I see how it works. In the meantime, just put Hopper on the telephone, will you? Ask him to come right over here.
Okay, Dr. Christian. It's taken you so long.
Coming, Angie. Here I am. Sorry I took so long. I've got your breakfast tray.
Body could starve to death while you're making a cup of coffee. Did you fix 2 eggs?
Yep. Here you are. Now put your knees down.
Oh, that bacon's too crisp, Fred. You know I don't like to cook too long.
I'm sorry, Angie. Nothing seemed to go right this morning.
Oh, me, I don't know whether I can last much longer. Just lying awake nights waiting for the end.
I thought you slept real well last night.
I didn't want to disturb you, so I didn't make a fuss.
But, Angie, you snored all night long.
You don't begrudge me a little sleep, do you?
Of course not, Angie. Of course not. Eat your breakfast now. I think I'll just sit down a minute. Funny thing, I must have strained my side yesterday, scrubbing the floor.
Oh, now, Fred, you're as strong as an ox.
Well, I don't very often have a headache.
A headache?
Oh, no, it's nothing serious. Now, don't get upset, Angie.
What kind of a headache?
What kind? Lord, are there different kinds?
Different kinds? How can you be so ignorant? There's at least 6 different kinds.
Well, mine's just sort of a dull ache.
Front or back?
Huh? Oh, sort of all over.
Fred, the book, where is it?
Angie, lay back there.
It was there on the table. Did you steal it again last night while I was sleeping?
I just put it away.
There, get it for me.
Oh, all right. Now, don't get overwrought, Angie. It's over on the dresser. I'll get it.
You got a fever, Fred?
No, of course not.
You look a little feverish. Tired and feverish.
Yeah. Here's your book.
Bend down. Let me feel your head.
Now, why don't you eat your breakfast, Angie?
You have got a little fever. Sit right down there.
Oh, Angie. Now, if you don't...
Quiet. Tired and feverish, headaches, pain in the side. Which side is it, Fred?
Huh? Oh, my left side.
Left side. No pain in the back?
Well, yes. Back, too, now that you mention it.
Oh!
What's the matter? What is it?
Splenic fever.
Splenic fever? What's that?
Quiet. Listen to this. The symptoms come on suddenly. Fever. Tender area on left side. High temperature. Often fatal. The horse must be kept... Oh, good land. I'm in the animal section.
Land of Goshen. Angie, for heaven's sakes, don't scare me like that again.
No, here we are. Human diseases. Left side in the back, and headache, fever.
Can you find anything?
Is your stomach upset? Do you feel gassy?
Well, yeah. Seems to me I do.
That's bad.
What's bad?
Did you feel like you got colic?
Colic? No, of course not.
Well, that's good. Is it sort of in your wishbone?
Is what in my wishbone?
The pain.
No. It's down by my ribs on the left. Say, it's getting worse.
Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. I was afraid for a minute you had gallstones.
Look here, Angie. Get it straight. It's right about there, and it hurts when I breathe.
When you breathe? Oh, that's bad. Oh, my goodness.
Ouch. Oh, that pain's getting worse. Oh. I can feel it clear up in my arm.
Your arm. Did you say your arm?
Yeah, it sort of shot up into my arm.
Now, don't
like...
get excited, Fred. Here, take this tray. No, you better not take it. I'll get it.
Well, what is it, Andy? Here. Now, why are you getting out of bed?
Never mind. I'm getting out, and you're getting in.
What are you talking about?
Fred, you poor darling. Here, I'll help you. Lie down there. Don't exert yourself.
I do feel sort of... Oh, I am sick.
Oh, my goodness. How long has this been coming on?
Well, I didn't feel so good yesterday.
My poor darling, and you didn't say a word. I'll never forgive myself.
Oh, now, don't say that, Angie.
Quiet there. Don't talk. Don't move. Just be quiet and rest.
Oh, good gosh.
I'll be right back. Just as soon as I call Dr. Christian, Fred. You've got angina pectoris.
What in the world is that?
Yes. Read what Dr. Sanders says. Be calm, dear. Be calm. Everyone has to die sometime. Operator, quick. Get me Dr. Christian. It's a matter of life and death.
Hello? Dr. Christian speaking. Oh, yes, Angie. You just called me. Yeah, I was leaving for the hospital. What's that? Heart disease. Angina pectoris. Oh, no, Angie, I wouldn't worry if I were you. There's nothing wrong with your heart. What's that? Fred? He's in bed? Yes. Yes. Oh, keep him there. I'll be right over inside of 10 minutes.
Oh, Doctor, thank heaven you're here.
I drove as fast as I could.
Oh, Doctor, I'll never forgive myself. He's been sick all this time, and him waiting on me, bringing me meals in bed and never complaining.
Oh, now, don't carry on, Angie. I take it you're feeling better.
Oh, yes, I'm much better, thanks. Come right upstairs.
I'm coming. How's your headache today?
I haven't a sign of a headache, Doctor.
No burning sensation in the stomach?
Not a bit. It's all gone.
A remarkable recovery.
This way, Doctor. I put him right to bed the minute I realized what it was. I'm afraid he's in pretty bad shape.
Yeah, it did sound serious, what you told me over the phone.
Oh, it is, Doctor.
Just a minute, Angie. I'll go in and talk to him alone. Less excitement, you know.
Oh, Doctor. Do you think there's any hope?
No, Angie. I'm sure there is. Suppose you go downstairs and heat some water. It'll keep your mind off Fred. Heat a big kettle.
Yes, Doctor. Is that all?
For the moment. Now run along. Morning, Fred. It's all right, Fred. I'm all alone. I left Angie downstairs. You don't have to put on the act for me.
How am I doing, Doc?
Well, you're doing okay. Angie is practically beside herself with worry.
You mean she's feeling better?
Not an ache or pain left. She's only worried about you.
Gosh, I don't want her to think I'm going to die, Doc.
Oh, of course not. But I think it's better for Angie to worry about somebody else's aches and pains than her own.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Angie is the mothering type. Unfortunately, you never had any children for her to mother, so I guess she'll have to mother you, Fred.
Me?
Yes. Oh, you'll get used to it. Let her wait on you, fuss over you, worry about you. It'll do her good.
But, Doc, you're not going to let her believe I have heart trouble.
No. No, I'm going to tell her that you're suffering from a Glaper's condition.
Gosh, Doc, it's not fatal, is it?
No, Fred, not fatal. But it is chronic,
Evening, Judy.
Well, good evening, Dr. Christian. Late as usual.
Yes, but I have an excuse today.
Oh, what is it this time?
I've licked Dr. Zander.
No, how'd you do it?
I told Auntie that Fred was suffering from a Glaber's condition. Might even in time become completely debilitated.
Oh.
She looked it up in Dr. Zander's book, and when she found it wasn't listed there, she threw Dr. Zander right in the fire.
So her confidence in you as a diagnostician is completely restored.
Yes, yes, and Auntie herself is completely cured.
But how's Fred bearing up?
Oh, I think he's going to enjoy Auntie's attention.
Dr. Christian?
Yes, Judy.
What the heck is a glabrous condition?
Baldness, Judy. Just plain, ordinary baldness.
And the curtain rings down on Angie's Last Cure. Gene Hirschold, our popular Dr. Christian, is going to tell you now about next week's play. He'll be here in a moment, so while we're waiting, may I ask all of you men just what is the condition of your scalp? Is your hair getting thin? Are you in danger from the not fatal but chronic glabrous condition that Angie's husband had? Well, dry scalp and dandruff scales are frequent forerunners of baldness. And though science has not yet found a way to restore hair to a bald scalp, scientists do know that proper care of the scalp and hair help to prevent baldness. The right treatment for dry scalp is Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic is different because it contains no ingredients which could possibly dry the scalp. If you want handsome, manageable, healthy-looking hair, give your scalp a brisk massage with plenty of Vaseline Hair Tonic before you shampoo your hair every week. Then shake on a few drops every morning for use as a hair dressing. You'll find your scalp pink and clean, your hair free from unsightly dandruff scales, and easy to keep in place. With a regular use of Vaseline Hair Tonic, dry scalp will disappear. For Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural oils of the scalp lost through steam-heated rooms, frequent showers, and direct sunlight. Vaseline Hair Tonic costs only 40 and 70 cents for bottles that will last you several months. Get one tomorrow at your neighborhood drugstore. And now, here's Gene Hirschold, our own Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what kind of a story have you selected for next week?
Next week, our Riverside High School is having its annual spring vacation. Among the festivities arranged for the boys and girls is a dance in honor of Sally Sands, our popular subject, who is home from school for the Easter holidays. Sally is only 16, and already she has all the boys in town half crazy. So if you want to hear your old Dr. Christian in the role of Dr. Cupid, just tune in this station at this hour next Wednesday evening. Until then, I'll say good night.
The second in a series of RKO pictures based on this radio program has just been completed. It's called The Courageous Dr. Christian, and Gene Hirschold has starred in the title role. Be sure to watch for the release date at your local theater. This is Arthur Gilmore adding a good night for the makers of Vaseline Preparations. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.